Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Junk Refund Show. It is my favorite time of the week, Thursday afternoons at 3 o'clock Eastern, where I get to talk about all things junk removal, and not only just the concepts of getting the junk out of your homes and your offices and your garages and your backyards, but also out of your life. And I love to have different guests on the show who are really good in their professions that have to do with kind of helping you move forward with life. And a lot of those folks are in the real estate industry because I work with a lot of realtors. I am thrilled to have Mike Say Jr. with me on as a guest on the radio show today. Mike, can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you on. I will tell you that his father, Michael Say, is a very good friend of mine, and I love him like I love Michael, his dad, like a brother, and I have worked with both Michael and his son Mike for quite a long time, actually, in the D.C. area, doing junk removal for their clients or just doing other stuff, you know, even church stuff with his dad and stuff like that. And I'm just really excited to have him on talking about the real estate industry and how you can win in the real estate industry by getting involved with him and his father in their business, and I just think they do a terrific job. Mike, tell everybody a little bit about how long you've been involved in real estate.
Sure. I got my license initially for my own personal transactions and friends and family. My previous career was in retail pharmacy. I left after 16 years as the chief operating officer for a company called FlavorX. We flavored kids medicine, and it was after just organically getting more real estate business on the side. Just, you know, I sold my best friend and neighbor a house, and really as the city was expanding, I moved, you know, around to different neighborhoods purchased and then kind of got friends into the area. And then my dad was the manager of the Spring Valley Long and Foster office, and his office was closing and he was retiring from management. And my company had relocated up to Columbia, Maryland, and I was commuting. And it was the right time. And his only request to me was that he wanted to keep his stress level low and keep it small, and that's what we've tried to do. And we've really just organically grown a referral-based business. Almost all of my clients I have a personal connection with or personal connection with someone that they care about. So it's aligned really well with our business.
Well, you must be doing something right, because I spend, at least particularly on the weekends and on Sundays, Wednesday night, I spend a lot of time around your dad. Everybody loves him, loves the name. You have the right name, my friend. You have a heritage that's kind of been passed on to you, which is great. But I think you're doing something right, because he never really seems to be stressed out about much. I think you're helping him keep the stress level low And kudos to you, because you're obviously doing the right thing and running the business very well. Tell me about, so you guys founded Michael Say Homes. Tell me about the success of Michael Say Homes.
Yeah, that's correct. It really all started, my dad, my parents had a big house in Spring Valley, raised five kids there, and they had been empty nesters. I want to say it had been like close to 7 years. And he called me up, I think it was probably just a little over 5 years ago, and said, listen, we've made this decision. He'd been talking about it for so long, I didn't take him seriously. We got him connected with an amazing person, Caroline Carter, who has a company called Done in a Day, and they had a personal connection, and she convinced, it was, I think, right before Thanksgiving, she convinced them to downsize. We got the house sold in 3 months, ended up selling it to a neighbor. We ended up listing their house, and that really gave my dad the confidence to, you know, and me to really trust each other. And we like to say the two of us make one really good agent. We spend so much time thinking and focusing on our clients. We're fortunate to stay busy, but we're more focused on, you know, following our clients where they need to go, and less about where the business comes from. The outcomes and the referrals, and that kind of model that my dad has fostered for so long, just caring about people and staying in their lives, has allowed us through, you know, what have been some really challenging real estate markets for a lot of agents. We've been fortunate to be steadily busy and growing, and it's because we have a patient approach, and we've got clients that are in all various stages of either looking to sell, looking to purchase something very specific. You know, we deal with estates, you know, all sorts of, you know, situations, life events that continue to happen. You know, there's certainly a shortage of good inventory out there. There's plenty of people that want to sell their homes, and, you know, we hang in there with them until the timing is right. And, you know, in the face of any market, we're prepared to deal with what's coming and give honest and direct advice, and it's worked out.
You know, that's a great answer. One of the great things about your dad is his humility. And when you say that we've been fortunate to stay busy, that's a humble way. That's a humble thing to say. I mean, it is. That's a great statement in anybody's business or anybody's life, where you say we've been fortunate enough to stay busy, right? You could brag about it and say, yeah, we're the hottest guys in town and we're really good, but that's not what you said. What you said was we're fortunate enough to stay busy. That is a very humble, I'm here to serve my clients kind of attitude that I compliment you on, and I think that's a great approach in any kind of business or anybody's life. I think that was really well said by you. Tell everybody about your family's history of being involved in real estate in the Washington, D.C. area, because it goes back more than just one generation.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, my great-grandfather and his brother founded a company called WCNA and Miller Companies, and they started out developing neighborhoods all over the city and into Maryland. My dad was actually... It's a very long story, but long story short is my dad's father, my grandfather, was the vice president of construction, and my grandfather ran the company, the CEO, and my dad was started off as a laborer for the company and ended up marrying the boss's daughter, and I was very blessed to grow up in a neighborhood, and I had one grandparent on each end of the street. I'm the oldest of six, so I had a fun time breaking in my parents and vice versa, but it has, that's one thing I have adopted from my dad is you know, a real focus on service to our clients and, you know, trying to, you know, I really feel like we're in this for the right reasons, and that's, you know, regardless of where things end up, it's our job to help people and getting them to where they need to be. And there's a, you know, there's a lot of focus on the money and the, you know, how, you know, different, you know, technology and things are going to disrupt the industry. But the one thing that I'm absolutely certain of is, and it's because I've seen it going back, you know, like you said, decades and several generations in my family, the personal relationships, you know, caring about what you do and having the right motivations and doing what you say you're going to do are things that are never going to, only going to become more and more valuable over time.
I think that's right. And you kind of just answered this next question I was going to ask you, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway, because I'm sure there's more here that you can tell us about. Your dad, who I've mentioned before, is a very good friend of mine, spent 45 years in the industry, in the real estate industry in Washington. What are a couple of the main things you've learned from him and how to be successful in it? You kind of mentioned a couple of them already. Do you have a couple more or something you want to just mention about what you've learned from your dad in the real estate industry?
He's, it's funny because as the oldest child, it took me a very long time to appreciate, and I don't think if I had just come straight out of college and tried to do this, I would have, we would have had the same level of success. You know, I learned, you know, I have some of him in me, but his optimistic attitude and his ability to truly, you know, care for, I mean, you know, how, you know, the type of guy he is. He attracts, you know, the best because he wants the best in people. And, you know, he loves everyone. I mean, it's been especially great for me kind of coming into the, to his business, later in life and getting to hear, firsthand, because I've always known what type of guy he is, but to hear firsthand from not only clients, but colleagues in the industry that have interacted with him, or just, you know, his reputation precedes him. It's been a blessing to me, and, you know, I feel like it's a natural fit because I really have, you know, just totally adopted his outlook on life. And, you know, he was one of the mindset guys before it was popular. And I think he just, he does it instinctually. And, you know, sometimes it's frustrating when he, you know, when he makes it look easy. But I've just found that being around him and his energy and, you know, watching myself grow as a person, it's his unique ability to care and trust and have patience with anybody.
I think that's a great answer as well, and it's very well said, and I would agree with everything you just said. I, years ago, kind of new in the junk removal business, he invited me to go and speak to his agents, and I've done that a few times in his office when he was the manager, and I was happy to do it, and I had a lot of fun doing it, and the thing that stood out to me is that he would stand up there as the manager of the office and in a sales meeting, and he would just tell everybody how much he loves them. And I've done dozens and dozens of presentations for real estate offices at their sales meetings all over the D.C. area over the years. Nobody has ever stood up, especially the manager of the office, and this isn't a criticism, it's just an observation. Nobody has ever stood up and told the real estate agents and the staff that they love them, except your dad.
He means it, too. He does. I used to toy with him, and we don't mix it up very often, but I think I once told him that, because he heals me with the love, and I told him that his love is having some inflation issues, but I really don't believe that. I know he truly, truly does, you know, care
he
that
really
much.
Does.
it he gives everyone his heart. The same, and it's a remarkable ability.
Well, it sounds to me like it's been passed on to the next generation, which is also an awesome thing.
I appreciate that, but it was a thing amongst my friends. You could see it. He's an exceptional guy, and whenever things were hard, we'd try to channel my father's energy. So, yeah, I still do.
That's really well said. Oh, that's really well said. I talked with another realtor recently on the show who talked about the inventory available in the D.C. area, and I think she said, in Montgomery County, Maryland, for example, there's over 400,000 homes, but there were only 47 on the market for sale recently.
Yeah.
It was a very low number. Is it correct that inventory is kind of a problem right now in the D.C. area?
It is, and it has been for a while. The spring market's just starting up, and the buyers typically are out early, but we... Because of the low rates and, a lot of clients, facing a more challenging environment when they're trying to figure out their next move, it really has created a gridlock effect. With a lot of the best inventory, too, there's always life events that keep people moving forward. We're hoping that inventory improves. It always does over the course of the spring, but just historically, I think we're at because of the demand in the close-in suburbs, especially good school districts, backyard space, close enough to a metro or to the ability to get downtown, the right amount of space, and especially. Anything under a million or really even 1.5 million, the closer in you get, it's an affordability challenge. And when rates come down, the buyers rush in, and it's going to take some time for the inventory to catch up.
Nope, that's a good answer. What are some of the main things people should do if they want to get ready to sell their home?
Engage a good realtor. That's the first thing you should do, and trust what they say. Every property is different, depending on the overall condition. You want to make it as clean as possible. One of the things we do with our listings is we have got a great deep cleaner, and we include that for free as part of our service because especially after COVID, but. There's many homes out there that aren't completely updated, but the difference between a regular clean and a deep clean is a game changer. And then the light cosmetic work, if it's an older home, trying to make it look as close to the way it was when it was purchased, or changing aggressive paint colors. Making sure that everything that needs to be repaired is repaired. A move-in ready home, the closer to, updated, the more demand there is.
Great answer. What are some of the risks of doing a for sale by owner approach, which some people like to do?
I think that there's a misconception in real estate that getting, the house under contract and getting a price agreed to or terms agreed to are the hardest part. It's really, getting the best offer and making sure that you're capturing a market that allows you to do that. But then selecting an offer that's going to get to the finish line. And I think what I'm most accustomed to, and we don't deal with a lot of for sale by owners, but I have offers or tried to make deals on for sale by owners for buyers. And because there's not a professional involved or two, because it really, both sides should be represented, the emotions and lack of true understanding of the process and how to get things done caused the deals to fall apart, or you know, you get under contract and all of a sudden you're dealing with a problem that you don't know how to get out of, and emotions get out of control. Agents are so important these days on so many different levels. I could go on forever, but you know, we pride ourselves on giving our clients the best advice, and that's not just taking the best or the highest price. We want to make sure that they're seeing everything we see, and that that offer is going to get to the finish line. What you want to do is get under contract and start packing your stuff, and next thing you know, you've got a, you know, a contract that's falling through, and all your plans are cascading.
Correct. Correct. I love that finish line concept. I think that's a great statement to make in the real estate industry. I think that's well done. We're going to take a break for about a minute. We're going to come back. We're talking to Mike Say Jr. of Compass Real Estate in the Washington, D.C. area, who is a great realtor and does a great job and has a wonderful approach to helping people in the real estate market. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show, and we will be back in just a minute or two after we take this break.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is Alan Cook, your host. I'm the founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, a hauling and junk removal business in the Washington, D.C. area, where we kind of set ourselves apart by not only doing everything that the other junk removal companies do, which means get rid of the junk, recycle stuff like metal and wire, donate stuff and get people receipts, but we put up for sale the good stuff that we think might sell, and if it sells, you get money back. Because we kind of coined the phrase, not all junk is junk, early on in our business, and we've found that to be true. So we'll tell you more stories about some of those things we've sold recently and how much fun we're having. But it's really a lot of fun, and it goes back to my days early in my career as a stockbroker when I'm always trying to find a really good value and make money off of it. And so we were just kind of applying that to the junk removal business. I'm talking with Mike Say Jr., who is a very good realtor in the Washington area, has a multi-generation family history of being involved in real estate in the Washington area, and a few years ago formed a company with his father, Michael Say, called Michael Say Homes, and they have affiliated with Compass Real Estate. And I know, Mike, when you sent me some information about your business, you were very positive about Compass Real Estate. Do you want to just tell everybody why you like Compass so much?
Yeah, absolutely. When we, you know, my dad was a broker manager for 45 years. You know, I grew up in the real estate offices. He was overseeing, I think, six offices at one point in time, and he loves real estate agents. You know, he's got a huge network. When we first started working together, you know, he knew from a macro standpoint what it took, but you know, the day to day for me coming from a job where I had tons of support and I found the technology and the culture in a lot of the companies that we were considering to be, outdated or just didn't seem to be progressive. The when I met with Compass the first time, the first thing, you know, I'm a big culture guy. I really believe that it starts at the top in any organization. And I had come from a situation that I left because I wasn't, you know, thrilled with the overall direction. And I was very sensitive to leadership and culture. And that's what initially attracted me to them. And then when I saw their technology and the direction that they were headed and their goal of making the agent's life easier so they could be more engaged with clients spoke to me. And, you know, I've been able to go from, you know, trying to build a team with some, you know, administrative support and, you know, additional resources and overhead to being able to, you know, with just myself and my dad and the Compass platform and the resources and all the services that they offer, been able to much more effectively and cost-effectively and time-wise manage my business. And but I really think it all comes back to the culture. It's just a very collaborative. There's no egos. Amazing agents, better managers, and an incredible CEO. I couldn't have better things to say about them. And it's really been a healthy place for us to, you know, learn to work together, but also have the confidence to take on anything. You know, we our business went from being, you know, pretty tightly in and around the DC suburbs to post-pandemic, you know, clients, especially buyers, moving way out. And I have no problem traveling or, you know, spending time in the car talking with clients, but I would find myself getting behind on all the other things. And the technology and the level of support that Compass offers to agents has really made that problem go away and kept me in a very good headspace.
You know what they need to do, Mike? They need to put you on TV and have you do a commercial for Compass Real Estate. They don't need to give you... Seriously, they don't need to give you a script. Just turn the camera on, point the finger at you, and just turn you loose and let you say whatever you want to, and you would be perfect. Trust me, you would be perfect.
I spent 2 years trying to convince my dad the time was right to go, and I think looking back, he tells me all the time it was one of the best decisions he made, and it really gave us a fresh start to do exactly what he wanted to do and stay small and really focus on, you know, a work-life personal balance and organically growing something that we were proud of.
It's a wonderful thing when you work for a company that you love and that you admire from the top down. You know, it really is. It's very pleasant to hear somebody talk about how much they enjoy the culture of the company they work for. Because I think there was a statistic in the past that said 80% of the people who are out there in the workforce are not quite thrilled with their job and with what they're doing. And it's always refreshing to talk to somebody who's kind of on cloud nine, having a good time where they work. That's a real pick-me-up for people, and I compliment you for that. You may have answered a little bit of this next question, just kind of in some of the stuff you said before, but I know downsizing is a big issue for people who've worked in D.C. for a long time or getting ready to retire and stuff. Do you have any suggestions for people who are facing the issue of needing to downsize?
Yes, it's never too late to engage a professional to start the conversation. You know, we find that, you know, a lot of our clients, you know, it takes, you know, in most cases, a couple to get on the same page and it's emotional, and there's, like, you know, a lot of stuff involved, and how am I going to get the house, you know, in showing condition, and, you know, all the other, you know, millions of questions that go through your head when you're focused on it. But I find that the more often you can have the conversation and check in with your agent and keep moving forward, when the time is right, you'll be much better prepared to execute. And you know, the time is never right until it's right. And if you're scrambling to try to catch up and do all of that at once, it's certainly possible. Like we do fire drills all the time, but understanding the process, making sure you've got good partners like you engaged, so that you can do things cost effectively, so that you're not rushing to, you know, discard just items that you didn't have a chance to get appraised, or, you know, there's so many issues that I see when clients are trying to rush after avoiding the conversation for so long. But in most cases, we initially lay out a plan, and then it's, you know, it's maybe months later, sometimes a year later, sometimes we're visiting people annually, giving them updates and kind of slowly getting further along until the time is right.
Very, very good. Let me ask you this just for fun. In your opinion, what are two or three of the most exclusive areas to live in Washington? Like,
that's a tough question, because I'm sure I get a lot of different answers. But I, watching some of these recent sales in Spring Valley and Wesley Heights, there's some really just over $5 million+ sales in these neighborhoods that I grew up in and my dad grew up in, and you know, there's also, you know, these just total amazing storybook homes that have been carefully maintained. But I like, those are two of my favorite neighborhoods for personal bias, Wesley Heights and Spring Valley.
How expensive are the condos down in Georgetown?
It depends. I think there's, the larger condo market with, you know, outdoor space and a good view, prices have been really going up fast because there's a real shortage of that inventory, and it's a bridge for the previous conversation. You know, the ones that are downsizing or potentially want to keep a large enough place in the area because they spend some time here, or you know, maybe they're giving up their big home and, you know, have had this vision of a, you know, their retirement in a certain part of it. Area, but anywhere from, you know, I would say you're in the $1 million+ range. Bethesda right now for, you know, a large two bedroom or three bedroom, you know, $1.25 million+, depending on the building. But there's a real shortage of good condos right now when it comes to that. But I do see more and more interest in, you know, smaller condos as well, especially as coming, you know, back into the office at least for a few days a week, or more commuting is picking up. Just overall a shortage of really anything good.
What do you say to people who kind of, I know interest rates have moved a lot in the last, let's say, few years, right? But what do you say to people who want to kind of wait to see what interest rates are going to do? Do you have a response to that, or how you handle that?
My personal lesson I learned was, you just, when you find something you like and it meets your budget and you can make it work. It's always, there's never a bad time. I think when rates are higher, actually, as a matter of fact, I have two under contract right now. Both of them are amazing properties for buyers who, didn't want to compete and, you know, tracked a few listings over the holidays and ended up getting, you know, good offers accepted without the competition, and, you know, because they were willing to move when rates got higher. Shortly after that, rates started coming down, and there was, you know, I saw in the same neighborhood multiple offer situations and price escalation. So I think it really, you know, it's not something I try to get too hung up on, for sure. When rates spiked last fall, you know, the air came completely out from the demand side, but there's some seasonality to that too. Every spring for the past 5 years, it feels like a coiled spring from a buyer standpoint. And buyers are savvy, and they're but they follow the news and the rates, and I track the 10-year daily. When it's breaking below 4%, my phone's ringing. But I do think that we're just going to have to be comfortable with these rates at a higher level, maybe historically. The one thing I'll say about that, and it's personal, is the first condo I bought was in Sumner Village, which is where my parents are now. It was the building next to where my grandmother had moved to when she retired, and I rented a room to my best friend, and I think my interest rate was 5.5%, and my dad said, "Well, that is the best interest rate I've ever seen in my life." And I went on to sell that, and I bought many more places, and I've moved all over the place. And I think, like a lot of people, I'm locked into a really low rate right now. But historically, that initial purchase and that interest rate, which I ended up refinancing and then selling, and it gave me the opportunity to continue to step up and leverage my ability to, on the path to homeownership. And just purchased my first single family home in Bethesda in 2020. So
wonderful, wonderful. I think Warren Buffett, who is a friend of mine, would be proud of your answer. He has maintained in his business at Berkshire Hathaway that he and his late partner, Charlie Munger, never have had an opinion about what interest rates, the economy, or the stock market is going to do a year from now. They don't focus on that. They focus on the longer term and not trying to guess who knows what's going to happen with rates and the market and all that kind of stuff. And I've always thought that was a really good approach, and that sounds like what you're saying as well. So I think you have a good approach to that whole scenario. Let me ask you real quick, if people want to contact you, what's the best way to do it?
Phone or text message are great. Or email. Really, I'm up on everything. Whatever's the personal preference. But I love to talk on the phone, and we like to solve problems, and have seen a whole lot of everything. No agent or anybody has a crystal ball, but to your point, I think if you're making decisions for the right reasons, especially on the purchase side, if you have a 5 to 10 year horizon, there's so much more value in home ownership, and actually, the quality of life investment, that trying to time the market or waiting for the perfect thing in the perfect situation very rarely works out well.
Do you want to give everybody your phone number and your email address just so they know?
My cell phone is 202-415-4992. And my email is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, @ Say, and that's S as in Sam, E as in Edward, A as in Apple, Y as in Yellow, and then homesdc.com. Or you can also do Michael.
Okay, I'm going to have you repeat that again, just so people can write it down if they want to jot it down. Tell everybody again.
Sure, it's Michael @ Say, S-E-A-Y, homesdc.com.
And give me your phone number once more.
And the phone number is 202-415-4992.
Okay, so if you got time, Mike, I've got like just 3 or 4 more questions I want to ask you real quick, if you still got time.
Absolutely,
to hang on
through
this next break. Okay, hang on tight for a minute. I'm talking with Mike Say Jr., who is a great realtor and a great guy here in the Washington, D.C. area, about real estate issues and how to get the junk out of your real estate portfolio, so to speak, and also out of your life. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We're going to take a break for about a minute. We'll be back. We'll talk with Mike some more, and I really appreciate him being a guest on the show this week.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, in Bethesda, Maryland, talking with my friend Mike Say Jr., who is an experienced, good, smart realtor in the Washington, D.C. area with a longtime family history of knowing the real estate market in Washington. Mike, I just have three or four more questions to ask you, and I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. Do you help people find rentals if that's what they want?
If it's a referral or personal relationship, we help anyone. If I can't help someone, I'll give them advice. I think with rentals, it really depends on the situation, because in some cases it's easier to go directly to the listing agent. Now, we do list rentals. So much happens through Zillow and a lot of these online automated platforms. I will set up searches on rentals and oftentimes connect, a client directly with the listing agent if I think it's going to give them a better chance. But there's a real shortage all around. I'm trying to help a couple friends right now with rentals. And, we had a few condo rentals and we got flooded with applications. It's a different process. In any situation, we're going to give the best advice to get them what they want, whether we're representing them or not.
Awesome. Is the popular flipping of houses that we've seen on TV and other things in the last few years still popular? And if so, is Washington a good area to try to do that in?
Yeah, I think Washington's always been a good area for that. And I think when rates went way up, it froze some of the, I think there'll be an impact on inventory just because it made the cost of everything more expensive, the cost of the shells and the appetite for investors. But I think because of this low inventory situation, and especially in good locations where there's strong demand, everyone wants something that's been updated and newer. There's a real shortage of that.
Do you have any particular, and I know it depends on what somebody's looking for in their situation and stuff like that. Are there areas in the Washington, D.C. market that you think give the best buys to people right now that they should be perhaps considering if they're looking just to get the best value they can for their money?
I mean, downtown D.C., like I haven't looked like closely at the inventory, but I think that the closer in suburbs, things that are in good school districts, the really competitive areas where there's a shortage of homes are a challenge right now. I've had some good opportunities with buyers on condos. But I think downtown, because of they're still trying to get everybody back into the office. Those are going to be the best, I think, long-term investments, and kind of looking into see what happens with a lot of the bigger office buildings. But I find that, I guess the big thing I like to say to clients is just, take a look, when you're looking at inventory, don't get hung up on the days on market or the pricing history or why it's selling so quickly. I can't tell you how many times I've picked up the phone and learned, or been able to get just an amazing house for a client because the market was scared off by, the history or the fact that it's selling quickly when in actuality it was a life event, or, you know, maybe someone got called back into the office, or, you know, there was a something else that had nothing to do with the home that was driving the decision, and it ends up being an opportunity for someone else. The market moves really fast, and when you're looking at homes on your phone, it's easy to get, you know, distracted or picky when it comes to what you're looking at. But how something looks in photos versus real life, and then also being able to look past something that may really be a non-issue by just picking up the phone and drilling a little bit deeper. Again, one of the reasons why you need a good agent who's willing to do that work and, you know, take it a little bit further than you can on your own to get you answers that might end up being the difference between a diamond in the rough or a really, you know, perfect home that just had something that, whether it was timing or some other extenuating circumstance that was causing the sale.
Beautiful. To wrap this up, I just love talking to you. You have such a great way of answering these questions and just doing it very smoothly and normally and professionally. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful skill that you have. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about that we haven't covered that you want to discuss with people about Michael Say Homes or et cetera?
I mean, I obviously, like any referral coming through you, you have been great. And by the way, I have two clients that I need to connect you with. You've been a lifesaver on so many fronts for us. But I really do think we're in an environment right now where it takes, you know, a pretty deep network and a bunch of trustworthy resources to, you know, get a home listed for sale, to get an offer accepted in this market, to have the confidence to write your best offer on a property, and to feel like you're dealing with someone that you can trust who's in it for the same reasons you are, to represent your needs. That's not transactional, and I think it's a difficult skill. It's a difficult to learn, and I said this a bunch, and maybe even said it on the show. This isn't a job I would have been good at straight out of college. My previous career, I was dealing with sales and clients, Fortune 500 clients that were on a much longer sales cycle, sometimes years, and, you know, working in that kind of environment where you never feel like there's a beginning and an end. This is a business where, you know, there's always going to be challenges, but being able to keep an eye, stay focused on the big picture and make sure that you get to the finish line without letting emotions or, you know, just what can be oftentimes just little miscommunications that spiral out of control. This is a market where trust and transparency and reputation and working for a good broker or on a good team or with a good agent that, going to, you know, go all the way with you regardless of where it takes you. And, you know, you can just trust that, you know, it can look easy to get your home sold and get to the finish line, but there's a lot more that goes into it. And I might be a broken record, but my dad's energy, what he has instilled in me and what I've learned in, you know, doing things the other way too. We're really focused not on the transaction. We're focused on the client, the friendship for life. We love referrals because we're meeting so many new friends and, you know, we feel like our lives are more full and, with the good and the bad. And, you know, when we do get into challenging situations or helping our clients with challenging situations, those can be the most rewarding. So we like to do it all because we feel comfortable in most situations. And I think the diversity of our business and operating in such a broad area in a location that we're very, very familiar with you know, partners and colleagues that we have, you know, deep trust in, is something that can't be undervalued in this market where things are moving so fast.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being a guest on the show. It's really fun to talk to you about this. And your dad obviously is very proud of what you're doing, and you carry his name, which I do with my dad's name, by the way. And you're holding the torch high, and that's all any father could ask for his kids, right? Is just, you know, do your best, and that's what you're doing, and I think it's fabulous. Give everybody one last shot at your phone number and your email, and thanks again, Mike, for taking the time to be on the show. We really loved having you here.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all you do. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. My dad asked me to do this, and it was on his birthday, and this is normally something I would turn down because I'm very, very focused on just clients and kind of dealing with what's in front of me, but it's nice to take the time and talk with you, and I really appreciate you having me on. My phone number is 202-415-4992, and my email is michael@seaywhomesdc.com, and we service D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and I actually have an investment property in Ocean City if anybody's interested in exploring, you know, the Berlin area, which I just think is an amazing part of the country.
Awesome. You've been terrific, Mike. Well, thanks again for everything. It's been great having you on, and God bless you and your dad and your families and your business, and just keep going. I look forward to working with you some more.
You as well. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, my friend. Have a great day.
Bye.
So you've been listening to Mike Say Jr., who is a realtor with Compass Real Estate with Michael Say Homes. His dad's a very close friend of mine. I've worked with both his dad and him with various projects that they've had or needs that they've had, and we've been happy to help them out. Two of the best guys in the Washington, D.C. area who know the real estate market in Washington really well. Here's a couple of things I just kind of want to wrap up with in the next 7 or 8 minutes here. Upcoming shows, you might want to make a note of this. Next week, February 15th, Louis Torres, who you don't know, but he is the manager of Les Schwab Tire in Moses Lake, Washington. He is going to be on the show because I'm going to talk about one of his employees, a girl named Renee, who helped me a couple of weeks ago in an unbelievable way when I was in Moses Lake doing some stuff just for a day or two. And we're actually creating an award in Renee's name that we'll tell you more about next week that she doesn't know about and Louis doesn't know about, but we're going to do something special with this because when you come across outstanding customer service, it deserves to be applauded and rewarded. So I'm thrilled to have him on from Les Schwab Tire in Moses Lake, Washington. February 22nd, a guy named Rob Robinson, who is my personal insurance agent for like business liability insurance, et cetera. This guy is really good at customer service. And we're going to talk a little bit about how he does what he does. He is a pro, and I'm excited to have him on the show as well because you just need to know about him and what he does because he's so darn good at it. Just before we started this show, I got off the phone with my buddy Lindsey Parker, who is out in Utah. Lindsey and I went to high school together. He's going to be my guest on February 29th. This guy lives, perhaps with the exception of myself, but maybe we're tied, the most adventuresome life that I know of, and he is a hunter and a fisherman. And his posts on Facebook of where he's recently been and the fish that he's caught will motivate you to create your own adventure and your own dreams for your life. I am thrilled to be able to talk to him about what he's doing. He goes all over the world. He has specific goals of certain fish he wants to catch in certain parts of the world, and he's just a class act all the way through. I've known him for like 50 years. Lindsey Parker will be my guest on February 29th. And possibly another buddy who also has some roots in our Orem High School area, a guy who's like 3 or 4 years older than me, a guy named Robert Parsons, who has been a multi-decade, very close friend of mine, is an avid bird watcher. And we're trying to get, he's agreed to be on the show. The next opening will be March 7th, but I think of the 10,000 species of birds, I think is the right word, around the world. Robert has seen personally like 3,000 to 4,000 of them. and has a real energy and a passion for bird watching. And I just love to get somebody on the show who is having a wonderful life exploring their hobby, because it makes the rest of your life just go so well. And it's such a wonderful thing. Lindsay and Robert are two of the guys that do that really, really well. I want to talk about really quick our declutter calendar for 2024. I'm going to ask our producer, Don, just off the top of his head, to pick one month and one day. Tell me what it is, and I will go to this calendar and tell you what our daily task is for that day to help you declutter your home and your life.
All right. Let's give it August 12th.
August 12th. All right. Flipping through here. August 12th of 2024 is a Monday, and the task that's on here says clean out one bathroom drawer. There you go. Not the whole bathroom, just the bathroom drawer. And the photo that's on top of the month of August is me paragliding in Torrey Pines, California, over a 400-foot cliff drop-off down to the beach below. So you'll get a kick out of that as well. And the statement for the month just says, ever paraglided. There you go. So the junk, the declutter calendar 2024 is available on our website, 1-800-JunkRefund.com/calendar. You purchase it for $59.95. It's got a daily task for the next 12 months. If you order the calendar this month, you get February of 2024 through January of 2025. So it doesn't matter what month of the year you order it. You'll get a daily task to help you declutter your home and your life. And I figured out that the cost of the calendar with 365 ideas on it is about 14 cents a day. That's a lot better than paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a company to come in and haul away some stuff when you can start chipping away at it day in and day out. Call the show, call Don at 888-627-6008 to order the calendar from through the show, and we will turn around and send it directly to you from the printer. But you'll save $10 if you do it through bbsradio.com. So we're excited about that. So just keep in mind the declutter calendar for 2024 is a thing that we've created that is unique in the calendar industry, and we're having a lot of fun with it. I want to tell you really quickly about our New Year's special for 2024. We created 24 home or office cleanouts around the country, doesn't matter where you are, for a total price of $2,024 for up to 5 box trucks of stuff hauled away, which is about what it takes to clean out a typical average-sized home. A box truck of stuff is normally $695. 5 of those is just under $3,500. But we've created 24 of these. You purchase it in advance like you're buying a Groupon or a Living Social coupon or something. You pay $2,024, and you save 42%. On the cost of getting 5 truckloads of stuff hauled away. You can check that out at 1-800-JunkRefund.com/2024-2, and you'll read all about it. It'll be on there. A quick mention about the value of reading. I'm reading 3 books right now. One of them is a religious book called The Book of Mormon, which is important to members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm having a blast doing that. Another one is called Mojada, M-O-J-A-D-A, by a friend of mine that I actually go to church with who immigrated from Honduras to the United States when she was 15. This is the true story of her immigrating, and I'm planning to see if we can get her to be a guest on the show, probably in March, to talk about this book once I've finished reading it. And the other one is called The Dynasty. It's about the New England Patriots football team. And it's written by Jeff Benedict, a terrific author who has also come out with the book called LeBron, and has written books on, he did Steve Young's biography. And it's just he's a wonderful writer, and I'm trying to see if we can get him on the show as well to talk about how writing gets some of the junk out of your life. Quick shout out to Frontier Airlines because of their Go Wild Pass. I am leaving tomorrow night at about 8 o'clock. to fly to San Juan, Puerto Rico, where I arrive at about 1 a.m. to go to one of our church's temples in San Juan, Puerto Rico at 8 a.m. I go around and visit these temples around the world and around the country pretty much, and I've run out of them in the United States, so I'm starting to do some international stuff. But I can slip down there. I think the round-trip airfare for this thing is like $100 total, and it's a direct flight out of Baltimore. So I'm going down there. I'll be down there Saturday. I guess I'm going to go snorkeling on somewhere around Puerto Rico Saturday afternoon, and I fly back to Baltimore Saturday night, and I'll be back Sunday. So back to my comment about having an adventuresome life, this kid's living it, and I'm having a blast. And if I can help you live it and get some of the junk out of your minds and out of your lives, as well as your homes, then mission accomplished. Special thanks, as always, to Matt Damon, and apologies to Jimmy Kimmel for just not having quite enough time to get him on the show this week. We'll see if we can do a better job getting Jimmy on sometime later. You've been listening to the Junk Refund Show. We love life. We hope you do, too, and have a great day. Thanks again to my buddy Mike Say Jr. of Compass Real Estate and Michael Say Homes for being a guest on the show. And as always, thanks to Don Newsom, his brother Doug, for the great job they do on bbsradio.com, radio and TV. They are terrific to work with. And if you want to do your own radio show, contact me and I'll put you in touch with those guys, and you too can have a radio show. Have a great day. And in the words of Michael Say Sr., we love you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.